You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 8th, 2024. This is Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com, starting off your work week. And as always, start these shows off reminding you we have our Sven Longshank support links here on the Daily Nationalist program. I continue to encourage you up until the day's release to drop him an email, drop him a postcard, just let him know I stay in contact with him. And I can tell you, it does mean a lot to him. Well, I'm not bringing a news story today. I thought we'd have a little fun talking about the eclipse mania. I live in a part of Texas where we're in the pathway to totality. And all I've been hearing about for weeks now is this total eclipse mania. People were freaking out. You know, all these people running around, they're all setting up camp. Gotta watch the sun be darkened out. I thought we'd have a little fun discussing this and people's attitudes about it and the way they behave and talk about how this is a sign that the world as we know it is ending and we're all going to die when the eclipse happens later today. So this will be our last Daily Nationalist show. No, I don't think that's the case. I'm just having a little fun. People be out there jumping off of buildings or some lunacy. Watching people go on about this and you realize how detached people are from nature, from the world around us. And I believe from God and they see these things and you see people having these different reactions. Most people running around treating this as a sort of, you know, scientific curiosity, you know, to see this once in a lifetime solar eclipse. I think it's interesting because the ancients understood and the way I view these different things, because people say, oh, well, the eclipse comes and goes and you know, nothing is going to happen, but it is going to happen. I do say that in all seriousness, something is going to happen. We just don't know when. I believe the way the ancients looked at it and the way that I myself also look at happenings such as what we see going on, you take them in their totality. I always talk about, you know, looking at the big picture, keeping your eyes open to see the big picture. Don't look at, for instance, when we look at a news story or a happening, don't look at it in a vacuum. Like, for instance, if you look at the Israel thing right now, what they're doing in the Gaza Strip, if you just simply look at that in a vacuum of, wow, Israel keeps bombing these Palestinians, you kind of miss the point. You have to look at that big picture and say, wow, they really do control the U.S. government foreign policy, because the U.S. government is completely impotent when it comes to please begging them to maybe stop doing this. Of course, they're completely incapable of cutting them off from aid and bombs. You have to look at that bigger picture. If you look at stories in a vacuum, then you sort of miss the point. I think seeing events like this, big events like this, like for instance, even natural phenomena like this eclipse, if you don't look at it in the big picture, you have to understand you kind of miss the point. You wind up like one of these gawkers out there staring at it like it's a scientific anomaly. It's kind of a curiosity to look at. When we look at the big picture of where this world is going, you see, the ancients understood, I believe, and I think the proper way to view these happenings is we're always moving forward in time in this life. We're constantly, it's a one-way trip. We're headed down this pathway of time. Now, if you were going down a one-way highway, you were going down a one-way superhighway and you're trucking along, every once in a while, you would expect to see mile markers. You go along, like if you had to call somebody, like if you had trouble and you called 911 and they'd say, well, where are you at? And you'd look around and you say, oh, I'm I'm just right before mile marker 125. And that way they would know where you are. See, I believe these big happenings, the relevance and the importance of a happening like, for instance, this solar eclipse business, is that these are mile markings of a major event. This is where you are in time. And these things mark these events. And we had last week, we had this massive earthquake, you know, big earthquake in Taiwan. Then they had a smaller earthquake in the Northeast. I've had a little fun telling people, well, let's see. Let me check off the boxes. We've had earthquakes in diverse places. They were getting all hyped up, getting ready for the sun to be blacked out. And then, like, right on cue, I see a news story that, oh, wow, we're going to have a swarm of locusts. We have a plague of locusts this year. You know, cicadas are going to be hatching out. There's going to be this massive amount of these things. And I laugh about that. But in seriousness, when you look at the big picture, these are mile markers. This is where you are. We're having a solar eclipse right now. We're looking, they've got this solar eclipse going. We've had these earthquakes. And you look at this in the context of wars have broken out and are seem to only be inevitably on the path forward to escalation and getting worse. When you look at the context of the bigger picture, yes, the escalation. I mean, if you're just, you know, a secularist, all you believe in is what you can touch with your hands and what's going on, then yeah, you would say, well, there's no connection whatsoever to something like solar eclipse, earthquakes, plagues of locusts, and you know, increasing tensions worldwide and this what seems like inevitable march towards larger and larger conflicts in the world around us. But if you understand that we're traveling this one-way pipeline of time, and you understand these things, as these are simply mile markers. These are major turning points. Historically speaking, a blacking out, a darkening of the sun has never been treated as a good omen. This is not a good sign. It does not mean happy days coming this way. And you could brush that off, but at the same time, when you look at the big picture of where are things going in the world, you would say, well, yeah, no, that seems pretty correct. It seems as though things are getting worse. I did a show recently that everybody's ignoring the off-ramps. There's nobody taking these off-ramps. Instead, we just keep barreling towards increased conflict. And it doesn't seem to matter what the people want, of course. Those in charge keep barreling forward. The past 100 years... have been, it's like an era of itself. You know, you've seen this, the United States rise up in global power. And with that, this expansion of power when it comes to Western or global finance, and we all quite familiar with who controls that. And this expansion of power, I believe what we're seeing is part of this mile marker we're going through. Again, we know the mechanics. You know, it's not like God's putting his hand over the sun. What's relevant here is these are mile markers. I always think about, you know, the Mayans, I think, the ancient Mayans, which were more of an advanced people than obviously live in the area now, much like the Egyptians. You know, they had calendars that were way more accurate. They didn't require a leap year. They had this advanced study of the stars. All these peoples understood these were mile markers. This is where you're at. It's not like God's putting his hand over the sun and blacking it out. But we do understand that, okay, well, in the flow of time, I think we're entering into a change. I believe as conflicts increase, we're going to see the falling off, and I think we're already seeing it, of Western power, of the power of the United States, and the power of global finance. The era of this, it's coming to an end. I mean, yes, things are escalating. If they went to a full-blown war, if we went to a full-blown global world war, it's not going to change the inevitability of where this is going. This era, which has been a very short era in all reality, is coming to an end. And you know, that's that's not a discouraging thing. It's kind of discouraging as far as, you know, it's going to be really, really bumpy. But in the long term, that's a good thing. We want to see this era come to an end. I have seen in academic papers, they've referred to, I'd say the 1900s, from 1900 to 2000, the century of the, you know, the 19s, if you would, the 20th century, has been referred to, I've seen it in academic papers and whatnot, referred to as the Jewish century, because you saw this rise of Jewish power. And that's coming to an end. We're seeing this turning point of that changing. Now, these transitions, regardless, whenever you have a transition in history, when an empire is in decline, there's always going to be this great turmoil. There's going to be this turmoil because those who are losing power don't want to let go of it. And they try to stop the rising power from coming up. And I believe that's really what we're seeing. We're seeing a new order arrive. And you might be saying, well, what the hell does this have to do? I thought you were talking about the eclipse. But it has everything to do with it because, again, these are simply mile markers. Like I said, this isn't God putting his hand over the sun and like sending you a flash signal, you know, making shadow puppets in front of the sun to show you something. This is a mile marker. We're seeing a turning point in time. This influential century for them is coming to an end, and we're entering into a new era. And of course, they're fighting against it. Every declining power fights against their own demise. A lot of what we see, and it doesn't seem on the surface to make any sense. But again, if you look at the big picture, it does. The original plan was that as the United States burned itself out, as we're currently seeing it do, the plan, the whole point of sending this industrial capacity and shipping these things to China was this idea that China would inevitably, as a result of this, liberalize and open up. In other words, the plan was to jump ship from the U.S. to China. This is not conspiracy theory. A delegation of Jews went to China some years back in the 2000s and went to China and basically said, we want to set up shop here. We're going to do everything for you that we did for the West. But the problem is China did not liberalize in the Western democracy sense. And China rebuffed their offers and said, no, we don't need your help. No, thank you. We're good. We don't want you to come here. We can run our own affairs. This has thrown a wrench into the plan. The plan was to already be bailing out on the sinking United States ship, maybe set it on fire on the way out, use it for a few more wars, but then you're nice and cozy in China and you've already set up shop at the new place. That has not happened. And I don't think there's anyone calling the shots and making these plans at this stage in time that's smart enough to adapt the plan to the new situation. So you have this situation where they're kind of going forward like the plan is still in place, and yet there's no other ship to jump to. And it, on the surface, it looks like it doesn't make any sense because it's like, well, shouldn't you be trying to stop the decline and fall when you don't really have another place to jump to? So end of eras. Things are changing. We're at turning points. Things are going to get more bumpy. Things are going to get rougher, more trying. Tumultuous times are upon us. We can look around and we see that. You have any number of people sounding the alarm saying, well, it's time to de-escalate these tensions worldwide. The U.S. is going around setting fires. They set this fire against Russia and Ukraine. And now they seem, you know, now we have fires going in the Middle East and the U.S. is turning around and continually trying to start a fire with China. This is what failing empires do. They're flailing about. There doesn't seem to be a coherent plan in place because the plan has kind of fallen through. There's no backup place to jump to. The entire U.S. economy is a financial economy. It's financialized. It's based on usury. and it's inevitably going to fail. People say you compare the U.S. economy to a giant Ponzi scheme, and that's not necessarily incorrect, but it is a financialized economy, which, being based on usury, is inherently parasitic. But there's always an end to parasitism. You know, you can only parasite off a host for so long. A financialized economy, which is based on charging rents, you know, charging interest rates and making commissions and fees and moving numbers around on a computer on Wall Street, is not real. You have to be making things. And it's at some point going to burn out. I remember back in the 90s when Ross Perot was running for president and he would be, you know, talking about, we've got to get this our last chance. We got, Larry, let me tell you, Larry, it's our last chance to get this debt under control. Nobody's even making those arguments anymore because that ship is long sailed. Nobody's going to get the U.S. debt under control, and nobody's even talking about it because they know there's no point in trying. So everybody just continues to move forward and act like, well, it'll somehow all work itself out. Well, it will, but it's not going to be smooth, and it's not going to be pleasant. Nobody believes these debts are going to be paid. So what is that going to entail? Complete turmoil and upheaval in the global financial system. A lot of focus gets paid on, you know, the BRICS and what Russia and China are setting up a system independent of the U.S. And everybody said, well, they're doing that in a reaction to the sanctions, you know, that the U.S. has weaponized the financial system against Russia. And that is true. But one has to also believe a part of this is they too realize. I mean, we're just regular people. I'm just a regular guy, and I can see this. Sure, the Russians and the Chinese have people way smarter than me, and they're seeing the same thing I am. They got to decouple from this failing system. Otherwise, they're going to get drugged down with it. They're trying to set up an alternative system so that when the Western one goes up in spectacular fashion, like a movie explosion, they don't want to be caught up in the blast. Yeah, it's not going to be smooth sailing, but they're at least going to survive it. Unfortunately, there's no alternative system, really, for the rest of us who are here. Again, we're turning points in time. These are markers. Massive earthquakes, plagues of locusts. The sun is being darkened out. You don't have to get spiritual. Just understand that as we flow in time, if you look on the side of the road, that's the mile marker. You are here. We're going past yet more turning points. And it's not hard to figure out what direction we're going. As I said before in previous shows, we're going down this highway. Nobody's even interested in taking an off-ramp. They just continue to barrel forward. We look at the societal upheaval here in the West, in the U.S. And we've talked about this and at length for years. And I have said for years, you know, was people get upset, you know? You look at all the gay pride stuff, child tranny, it just keeps magnifying. And I and many others, I'm not acting like, oh, I am the voice of wisdom. I and many others have said this is not sustainable, and that which can't be sustained won't be. That which can't continue will not continue. Nobody look around and say, well, let's see, we went from, you know, homosexuals just need to be married couples just like everybody else, to now we're doing, we need to dress little boys up and drag and have them dance around for homosexual audiences, child trannies. This is all totally normal. You keep going down and things keep just one-upping. And we've said for years, this is not sustainable. And it's not. This is too is a part of the turning point. It's not going to continue. And it's all going to come crashing down. Now, really, if this sustained for another 20 years, and I don't believe there's any chance it is, but if we continued on this trajectory, this path that we're on for another 20 years of one-upmanship, you know, of one-upping, we've gone from this level of degeneracy, of societal decay, to even the next level of societal decay. I mean, where would we be in 20 years? Public marriages to animals? I mean, I don't, you know, there's a limit to how degenerate you can get. Laws legalizing, I don't know, Sex with corpses, perhaps. Perhaps you could just marry your dead relatives and have sex with their dead bodies. I mean, there you start thinking, where do they go next? Because there's only one direction the societal decay goes, and it's, of course, always down, always worse, always more degenerate. Where do they go from here? We're at child trannies. I guess the next logical step would be legalizing literal pedophilia, and I do think that's in the works as far as the direction they're going with this. And if they go there, then what's next? What's after that? I mean, then what do they do? Because we know they don't ever stop and say, oh, yes, well, we've reached peak level of utopia degeneracy. Now we're satisfied. There's always going to be a next level. There has to come an end to it. It can't go on. And thus, because it cannot go on, it won't go on. I see people and they'll say, well, but nothing ever changes. Nothing ever, y'all say that, but nothing ever changes. And my response to this is, you know, in your lifetime, but how long have you been alive, man? You know, you look at history, thousands and thousands of years of history, and you've been alive, what, 30, 40, 50, 60 years? And you think that this is a true gauge of how things are going to go because this is the way it's always been in my lifetime? It's irrelevant in the context of history. If a man lived a long time to be 100 years old, he would still just be a drop in the bucket of the ocean of history when it comes to time. It doesn't matter. You get this context when you have these events that you see. The wise show you, like I say, those who came before us understood when you saw blacking out of the sun and these other signs. It's just a signpost. It tells you this is where you're at. You're at a turning point in time. You're fixing to enter into, you know, a different era. And always this is accomplished with doom and gloom. You know, I can't give you a clear picture of where things are going. And that's scary. People want to know. You know, what's it going to look like? How does this all turn out? I don't know, but I do know the current order is not sustainable, and it will come crashing to an end. I don't understand how people are opposed to what we have around us now, and yet when you talk about it coming to an end, they're like, you know, hesitant about that. They're afraid of it. I think long-term, this offers a lot of good, positive possibilities. If the current order is one of nothing but destruction and increased degeneracy, then any kind of change from that has got to be good. It may not be pleasant, but long-term, it's got to be good. I see this in the term not of the short-term upheaval, which will not be pleasant, I'm sure. But I look at this in the long-term. For our children, our grandchildren, those who come after us, it's quite possible that they will actually wind up with a better world than what we have now. But for that to happen, the current order has to be destroyed. We cannot continue down this unsustainable path of let's see how much more degenerate we can be. That's, you're not going to get to somewhere better from that. I often laugh about, you know, normie conservatives or even, you know, regular conservative Christian people talking about pray for America and God bless America and all that. And I laugh and I say, well, why would he? This is just a fear of change. If you don't support this, where we're at as a society, where people are, you know, where this is all going, then why do you try to cling on to it and somehow, I don't want it to change. I want to preserve it. Can we just stop going down here and just stay where we are? It's bad, but maybe we can just stay in place where we are. It's just, okay, let's stop and let's just stay here. But that's not the way it works. Time is like a fast-flowing river and you're on a raft and there is no anchor. You don't get to stop. You just keep flowing down that river. Things keep changing. Things are going to continue to change. You either continue seeing things become more and more degenerate and more gross and more disgusting and more against the natural order. And we probably will see that in the short term. But then it all comes crashing down. And when it does come crashing down, something else is going to come in and take it. The world doesn't exist in a vacuum. When it all comes crashing down and it all goes away, something else shows up on the other side of it. It would be easy. But again, long term, after I'm dead and gone, after you're dead and gone, it could be something better. I don't know that it will be, but it could be something better. And that's what I see. I see this potential of things potentially getting better, but they can't get better on the course we're on now. This is a course of continuing to spiral down, ever more degeneracy, ever more societal decay. Why would we ever want to support or hold on to that? Talk about the unsustainability, about it being non-feasible for them to implement a draft. You know, this conversation comes up because of these increasing global conflicts. And if they try to implement a draft, and I say it's completely impossible, this would light off society. Why? Because to draft people, to get them to go fight in the wars, you got to convince them that they are fighting to protect their way of life. And when in all wars past, you draft the young men and you tell them, you got to go fight to protect your way of life, to protect your people back home, to protect your society and your way of life. You're fighting for the American way. But nobody wants to fight for this way of life. Nobody wants this way of life. It's been shoved upon them. They've spent all this time now denigrating young men and running them down and telling them they have no worth and no value and saying they are the reason there's a problem in society. But now what? They're going to draft people and tell them to go fight for that? It's not going to happen. It just simply is not feasible. It's not going to work. We're coming to this end of this era. And this is a good thing. Again, I'm not being blackpilling at all. This is a good thing. We want to see this end of this era. We damn sure don't want to hold on to it. We don't want to continue. How do we complain about the world around us, the societies that we live in? And yet, on the other hand, we're afraid and we want to hold on and keep it. It's got to be destroyed. And it is. It's going to come to, it's not sustainable. It won't be sustained. Again, you look around at these things. Yeah, sure. It's just maybe a mechanical scientific function on the surface of it. Things like eclipse or why do these earthquakes happen? And but these are mile markers. We're entering. This is a turning point. This is an official. We're going past this point. Something new is coming on the other side. Again, in the short term, I'm sure it's going to be upheaval and difficult times. In the long term, for those that come after us, we probably aren't. I'm old enough, I'm probably not going to see the good side of it. And you shrug your shoulders and say, yes, but those who come after us might. They might see something better. We shouldn't be wanting to have this attitude of wanting to hold on to this decaying corpse of a society that we're in now. We should be looking forward to something better, even if we ourselves are not going to enjoy it. A lot of criticism gets leveled at the boomers for, like, you know, having, you know, as a generation, a selfish attitude. And yet, what are we to do, those of us who are in younger generations? You know, if you're going to be critical of that, then we should have the opposite attitude of, well, we may be not going to benefit from it. We may suffer in the short term from this upheaval and this destruction of this chaotic society around us. But the fact that other generations after we're dead and gone might have something better. This is something to be celebrated. We may not see it, but we shouldn't be selfish. Well, I'm not going to benefit from it. Why do I care? We should have the attitude of, yes, hopefully the generations that are coming after us might see it. They might see something better. They might see a better world and a better society than we have now. Now, I realize that our topic today is not standard daily nationalist fare, but I thought it was worth discussing. We look around, you know, how we deal with what we see going on with this changing world around us. Because I see people struggling, you know, struggling with the reality of what they see going on around us. Even people who are opposed to this current order, I think the proper term would be current disorder. And yet, they seem very troubled by the idea of its destruction, like very troubled by something different coming. And I think our attitude needs to be one of embracing this change. Again, whether or not we ourselves are going to benefit from it. We look at it as we'll pay the price of going through this upheaval in these times of trouble. And that price perhaps will yield a reward for generations that come after us. After all, selfishness and looking for one's own short-term benefit is a part of what got us to where we are today. And wrap up on that note, I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Again, I know this isn't normal, standard daily nationalist fare, but with all the eclipse mania, I thought it would be interesting to look at it in a different context. This just simply shows us where we are right now. It is a turning point. And if you're not happy with the current order, it's not something to be feared necessarily. It's something to be aware of that hard times are coming. But it does mean that change is indeed coming. I encourage you to take a chance. I'll be back tomorrow for the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, of course, I know all of you look forward to his Orthodox Nationalist program on Wednesday. Dr. Johnson will be back on Thursday for his Daily Nationalist, usually geopolitically centered. And I plan to be back here on Friday, everything working out. I'll plan to be back here on Friday to wrap up your work for the Daily Nationalist. So we got new content up Monday through Friday. I hope you'll get a chance to check it out. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.